The following show is closed caption for the reality impaired. The Jerry Bader Show.
So I had a fellow conservative say to me yesterday, and to protect this person, and I do have to protect their ideology from the public. So a fellow conservative says to me today, Jerry, or yesterday, do you really believe that the governor's race is a dead heat? Let me just say there were other conservatives in the room, and they said the same question. Basically, Jerry, come on. I mean, do you really? It's not going to be that close, is it? Let me tell you what, I'm a convert on this. I was feeling confident. You know, these things do, and we're going to get to this later in the show because Mary Burke has an attack ad out today. These things do have a cumulative effect. The original email dump, the latest John Doe email dump where prosecutors and the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel just completely, and I think intentionally, misreported it. What it meant, you know, prosecutors, Scott Walker, criminal scheme. I'm not going to play the low information voter card, but it is kind of low information voter card. A lot of people who should even know better, though, don't understand what all of that's about. That does start taking its toll. And it's interesting because earlier this week, the Democratic theme was, we're going to talk about jobs. We're not going to talk about John Doe. Her attack ad is about John Doe. So, yeah, I do think it's that close. I know people just can't, you know, particularly conservatives. Well, the state's going in the right direction. Taxes are lower. Yeah, all of the things that conservatives would want are all of the things liberals don't. And the state is relatively split. Now, the more she talks, and once they get into debates, I would hope that would change. Right now, yeah, I think the race is really close. And I have said this over the years, it is a mistake for conservatives to take the position, those polls. Yeah, don't do that. I do think it's close. More on that later in the show. We're also going to get to, speaking of close polls, yesterday there were some listeners who were doing the hope and dream thing that somehow there was going to be a legal remedy to Thad Cochran's victory in Mississippi. That's not going to happen. But I want to talk about what that victory means for the future of the Republican Party. Karl Rove crowing about this win. Really, even though you used a liberal base to get it done? We're going to talk about that. And some other, Lois Lerner, did she really want to audit a Republican senator? And now the EPA can't find emails. Boy, they have a lot of hard drive crashes in the federal government, don't they? Some of the stuff we'll try to get to. I want to start here, though. This is a piece that appeared the other day in the Wall Street Journal, but it's an opinion piece, ostensibly, by Bob Green. He's an author. Do you recall a couple of years, I want to say, it's, Jason, maybe you remember, I believe it was a couple of years ago, it was a story out of Sheboygan, a website that posted photos from accident scenes. And we talked about just that people would do that sort of thing. Here's why I think it was a couple of years ago. Yeah, because it was before Twitter and Instagram and all of this stuff allowed people to post stuff almost instantaneously. Jason thinks it might have been, you think it was 5 years ago? Let's say 3 to 5 years, something like that. It probably is, because this topic is back. And now, with the way from your iPhone, you can post things to Instagram, Twitter, and ones I can't even think of right now. this has become an even bigger problem at accident scenes. Here is a piece from Bob Green. I want to share it with you, and then I want your thoughts on this. Shielding grisly scenes from the Instagrammers. The sight by the side of American highways and roads is an increasingly common one. The first time you encounter it, it can be confusing until you quickly figure it out. In the last 10 years, it has become pretty standard for us, said Don Lundy, president of the National Association of Emergency Medical Technicians. We wish we didn't have to do it. You'll see it at the site of particularly grisly automobile accidents as the EMTs and other first responders struggle to free the victims from crushed cars and try to save their lives. Other emergency workers, police officers, firefighters, stand in pairs, holding up blankets or tarps perpendicular to the pavement. It's necessary, said Mr. Lundy, who's a full-time EMT in Charleston County, South Carolina. I don't think it's that people... Now, listen carefully to this. I don't think it's that people have changed. It's that the technology available to them wasn't there before. I want you to remember that line and that belief system. I don't think it's that people have changed, he says. It's that the technology available to them wasn't there before. He was talking about something first responders witness daily, something that dismays them. As soon as there's a gruesome accident, pedestrians and passing motorists reflexively pull out their camera-equipped phones and begin taking photos and videos. There's nothing illegal about taking photos or shooting video on public streets. Professional news crews photograph accident scenes as a matter of course, but editors and producers for newspapers and TV stations generally decline to use the most disturbing graphic images. Today, though, emergency workers know that if a fatally burned child is carried toward a waiting ambulance, if a grievously wounded woman, bleeding and unconscious, has her clothing cut off first so responders can get to her injuries, strangers on the sidewalk have the capability to deliver the pictures to other strangers everywhere before the victim's families even know their loved ones are in trouble. Thus, the blankets and tarps, held up as merciful shields so the dead, the dying, and the dismembered can have a modicum of dignity in the worst and perhaps last moments of their lives. Most of us seldom get close to a fatal accident. When we do, it is by happenstance. Last year, while visiting Naples, Florida, I was walking to a grocery store at US 41 near Pine Ridge Road. I came upon a ghastly scene. A Ford Mustang had just flipped, slamming head-on into the windshield of an oncoming SUV. The wreckage was so tangled that it would take rescuers more than an hour to free the victims, one of whom would die. In those moments, dozens of people whipped out their phones and started taking photos. That's when I noticed the emergency workers assigned to hold up the tarps. Having to do that would never have even occurred to me when I first was starting out, the Naples fire chief, Stephen McInerney, told me later. His career in fire rescue work began in 1979 when gapers at accident scenes, if they could stomach what they were seeing, had no easy way to share the sights. Now it's shoot the photo, post it, tweet it. It's like they don't stop to think it's a real human who's impaled or mangled. They're watching it like it's on TV. The first responders usually don't have time to debate with onlookers about the propriety of robbing the helpless wounded of their dignity. We're busy trying to save lives, said Mr. Lundy, the National EMT Association president. If I weren't in a hurry, I could probably succeed in explaining to people why it's just wrong to post this YouTube, that there's something off about your immediate reaction being, boy, look at this video I'm shooting. He hit that kid and knocked him 60 feet. That's exactly right. The dilemma of, now, again, listen to this. The dilemma of technology versus empathy, sadly, is not limited to insensitivity by civilians. Around the country, listen to this, there have been infuriating cases of first responders themselves taking close-range photos of accident victims and posting them on personal social media sites, where they have been discovered by the distraught families of the dead or maimed. And as digital advances inevitably make it even simpler to photograph and post, people who find themselves struggling for life in the aftermath of accidents are likely to look up from the street to see even more lenses aimed at them. I want to think that the idea of humanity and compassion is still out there, Mr. Lundy said. But the concept that anybody has any privacy at all, I'm afraid that ship has sailed. Jason says, but people haven't changed, right? Which is why, when you pass crash scenes, you are likely to encounter those blankets and tarps being held aloft. The reason, Mr. Lundy said, is basic. While our patients are with us, we should look out for them as we would our own children, our own mothers and fathers. Lundy, the head of the person representing the EMT community here, doesn't think people have changed. That they've always had that morbid curiosity, and now they just have the technology to share it. So 40 years ago, would this have been people's inclination if the technology existed? I think that's a lot like asking if Vince Lombardi would be the same coach today. You can't, because they're entangled. They're not mutually exclusive. The passage of time and this technology itself, I admit, I think does change people. But if the ability to do this has changed people, I can accept that. But to say that, no, people have always been this way, do you accept that? I'm not sure I do. 406-1360, 888-455-1360. I think a large segment of society no longer respects the dignity of human life. And I think that's what you're seeing here. Take your calls in five. It's 918.
Follow Jerry on Twitter. Go to jerrybatershow.com.